This is the Green Student Ministry's middle school podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
How many of you were here last week whenever we were all in the main room? How many of you guys were here? I feel like there was a lot of you. Yeah, that's awesome. So it was really, really cool. For those of you that didn't get to go, we kind of encouraged everybody to show up like we were doing middle school, but we just kind of met all over there. We like ran out of seats even down front. Like it was crazy. And so I got to speak and be up front and be up there. And I just loved, there was like this moment where I told all of you guys to stand up. So thank you for being there and for representing student ministry. Like I told them down there that we usually have about 140. We've actually got about 150 people in here this morning. So, which is really cool. So yeah, it's awesome. So just to kind of give us a little bit of a recap, I know that you guys are off and running, and again, for those of you that have started school, it feels like fall is here, and it really feels like, man, like I'm back in the rhythm of things, and I've got all of these things going on, and I would love for you this morning that hopefully you're just able to kind of take a step back and breathe. You're able to be thankful for what God's done in your life, and even as you think about this school year, what you hope that he'll do through you or in your friends. And so just know that we're praying for that for you. So, but yeah, we've been in this series called Declare, and we've been looking at what worship is. I don't have a clicker with me this morning, so I'm gonna have you guys help me out back there. But we talked through what is worship. And so the main thing that we said, worship, really, it comes from this old word, which actually is just worth-ship, which I said sounds a little bit like a dude who has a lisp just trying to say worship, like it's just like worth-ship. That's what it sounds like. I think it sounds kind of cool. So this worth-ship, you're declaring or ascribing worth or value. So like when you worship something, you are inadvertently declaring that that thing has value or that thing is worth your time. It's even like it's worth the praise that you give it. All right, so we talked about that, and we talked how you can worship different things, stuff that you have, different people, but ultimately God is the only one that, as we declare his value, right? Our declaration of that is really, it's more for us to be reminded of who he is, because we could declare, God, you are worth more, right? Or you are worth less, and that wouldn't change his actual value or worth. God is always worthy, all right? And so we looked at this question of, so what is God worth to you, right? Your answer does not change who God is, but it will change everything about you. And so that was kind of week one where we looked at that. And then week two, we looked at, okay, well then how do I worship? What does that look like? We can flip to the next one. That we said worship begins with two words, thank you. And then the question that week even was, do you know what he's done for you? All right, and that'll carry a little bit into this week, because we talked about, okay, well, how do I worship? And we said that really happens in kind of two stages, right? Inwardly in here, in your hearts, and in the way that you respond to God and who he is, right? And so this week, we're going to look at, what does worship look like on the outside? Like, how does that present itself in my actions, when I'm at school, when I'm around my friends, when I'm at home, when I'm doing stuff? Like, what does that look like? And so we looked at that over the last 2 weeks. And so here's what I would start us off with. I would say that our acts of external worship, they must be built on our inward understanding of God. Our acts of external worship, what happens on the outside, it must be built on our inward understanding of who God is. So again, I'll run back to that time and time again. The what is God worth to you? Who do you say that he is? And I can tell you the one place to find out who he really is right in here. All right, it's in his word, it's in scripture. So if you guys have your Bibles, though, go ahead and flip to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to encourage you, have a Bible with you. There's no phones in here. And I know that you're like, well, that's my Bible. But I want to encourage you, if you need a real Bible, share with a neighbor next to you. I think we have a couple in the back as well. So if you really need one, you can go ahead and grab that. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. That is in the New Testament, and it's just a little bit after the gospel. So you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. All right? Don't forget about Acts. That's a very important book of the Bible. Romans chapter 12. And here's what I want to do. I think for some of us, even the adults that are in here, I think this is a verse that we hear a lot. This is kind of a section of scripture that we hear a lot. And one way that it's good for us, I think, to either be refreshed by a passage or to hear things in maybe a little bit of a different way is to use a different translation of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, you're reading English and I'm going to read, like, the French version, all right? That's not what that means. A different translation is just there are different people who have interpreted scripture, who have written this down, and some translations use kind of more modern language. Some of them stick to like a very old language, like ye old English, all right? Or some of them use kind of like a middle ground a little bit. And I want to point us to this translation. It says TPT right here, and this is called the Passion Translation, all right? And so I really like this one. I think this is a good one. While you're reading maybe an older version, if you have questions about, man, I wonder what this is really saying, or maybe that's kind of a bigger word, going to something like this or the Message is great to read along with Scripture, just so that you can kind of learn on your own and read God's Word in a more modern way. And so here's what Romans 12:1 says. This is Paul writing to the Roman people. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? So he's asking them the exact same question that we are talking about in here this morning. Kind of cool. I encourage you, right, he's going to give them the answer. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. We read that again, the second half of that. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So even just from this passage here, Paul is writing to these people and he poses the question of what does it look like to really worship? Like, what does that really mean, right? Because worship is a response to who God is. Again, who is he to you? Who do you say he is? Because if whatever that answer is will affect and change your response to him. At least it should. And so he says, if you really see God for who he is, this is what he tells you to do. Surrender yourselves, all right? Like, you think of the word surrender, I think of like somebody raising the white flag, or I think of somebody just being like, you know what, you win, like it's yours, you take this, all right, come and take this, it's yours, I'm giving it up, it's all yours. And so what Paul is saying is that we do that with our lives, with our actions, with our decisions, with the things that we do day in and day out, that we would look at God and say, all right, God, I'm all yours. It's all you. I'm giving myself up, and I want you to take over, all right? I'm waving the white flag. I'm like, you come in, and you do what you're going to do in me. I'm surrendering my life to you. And that looks really weird in our culture, right? Because a lot of what you guys are going to hear is about you being the best you, you figuring out what you want to do with your life, taking control, making things happen. If you just believe in yourself hard enough, you can make it happen, right? That's like the American dream. It's kind of this thing that's floated out there that, like, if you just believe in yourself, right? You believe in you. If you work hard enough, if you muscle your way up here, if you do this, and it's all about you. It's all about you getting things done and getting what you want. Do you guys see that? Is that pretty common? I think a lot of you maybe feel that. That might be kind of where you're living, right? Like, you're worried this school year about getting what you want. You're worried about your position on the team or in the band or on, like, in the classroom or whatever your GPA is or all these other things. You're worried about you, right? And it's, what can I do to make myself better? What can I do to put myself in a better position to advance or to get a scholarship, to put myself in a good position on the team? What do I do for me? And what Paul is saying is the exact opposite. He's saying, surrender yourselves, surrender your lives, your actions, everything that you do, give it over to God and say, this is yours. Now you tell me what to do with it. It's a really difficult thing for us to understand in America. We're called to be this living sacrifice, which is also a really weird term to think about, right? Because if you think of the word sacrifice, Old Testament, kind of biblical sacrifice, it's like they would take an animal and they would kill it, and it would be something that covered over the sin of the people, right? So that they would be, they could stand before God and do that. And so this idea of being a living sacrifice is weird. One, because sacrifices were typically things that you killed. And so it's like this odd kind of word picture of that you would live your life in a way that you are giving yourself up. All of your desires, the things that you want, whether it be more friends or more money or more power or whatever it is, that he says that you would give that up. You would sacrifice that. That would be something that you say, God, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. And that's difficult for us. But I think in this word, living sacrifice, this tells us that everything that we do can be worship. I'm going to say that again. Everything that we do can be worship. And I know that that sounds weird. So think about what you have on your plate this year for school. These coming seasons, right? The next couple months. Maybe you run cross country. Maybe you play basketball. That's coming up in the winter. Maybe you play baseball. Maybe you're in football. Maybe you're on the dance team. Maybe you're in band. Maybe you're doing all of these things, right? All of that, even your classes, your homework, the way that you act at home, all of that can be worship. Because of what we looked at last week, that worship is not all the time, it's not always about what happens on the outside, but it starts inward. It's about your heart. You can even just say, as you're even doing your homework, you say, you know what, God, I'm gonna work at this as hard as I can for you. And then homework can be an act of worship. If you're a runner, you can say, God, I'm gonna run as hard as I can. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna train. I'm gonna do this. Not so that people would look at me and say, wow, you are amazing, but that I could say, you know what? No, God has given me this gift and I run for him. It's a total flip of kind of what we're used to. I practice, I do these things. I am committed to my studies. I am committed to being a better baseball player. I am committed to being a better this or that. I play soccer, whatever it is. And you would say that I'm doing this because God's given me this ability and I just want to be better at it because it's a way that I can tell God that I love him. It flips where your motivation is. It's totally different. And so the cool thing is that he for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Now again, if you're just out there and you're being like, yeah, I run and I play this game and I do my homework for God and it's like, that's what I do, right? But if it's not true here, then that's where you need to kind of check out where your heart's at on that. It starts inwardly. And so Paul continues in this way. He says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. We already talked about that a little bit. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes, which is different than what a satisfying and perfect life looks like in our eyes or in our culture's eyes. It's different. being inwardly transformed. And I think this is one of the most encouraging verses to me, because I thought this question for a long time growing up, and some of you may even be like, I don't know the answer to that, but this whole idea, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. I think that's one of the scariest things. If you're not careful, you'll put yourself in a corner and you'll say, I don't want to do anything unless God explicitly calls me to it. And you're just like, that means I can't get out of bed until I hear God's voice go, get out of bed. Like, and you put yourself in this position where it's like, I can't do anything. I can't move. I can't, what's my next meal going to be? God, tell me what I'm going to eat for breakfast. I didn't hear anything. Does that mean that I don't get breakfast? What do I do? Like, that's not what this is saying. God's will for your life, and the cool thing is that we're gonna dig into this more in just a second, but that it is possible for us to know and discern God's will for our lives, and it starts with this. It starts here, that we can know what he has for us, and I can tell you, if even just thinking about the great commission that Jesus lays out before he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples, he says, as you go, as you live your life, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them, right? Instructing them, all of these things. It's as you are going about your lives. So for most of us in here, I would say that probably about 99 to 100% of us don't have a choice of whether we get to go to school or not tomorrow. Would that be true for most of us? Or even this week, as you start, most of us would say, I don't have a choice. Like, I have to go to school, because you can't pull the card. You can't be like, you know what, Mom? I was really deep in prayer last night, and I really feel like God's telling me that I should just drop out of school. Like, you guys don't have that option because right, your parents are telling you to go. The state tells you to go, right? This is like a law thing, okay? And Scripture tells us, be obedient to the laws, right? And so we do that. And so it's really going to be as you go, as you are in school, as you guys are there, take those opportunities not to miss moments to live your life for Jesus, to go to class and that your class would be worship, to do your homework, to do the things that you're called to do, to participate on those teams that you're in, to care for the people around you. Because it's not just about, again, if we have eyes like Jesus has and we see the people around us, suddenly the things that we do, the people we interact with on our teams or in our classrooms, it's not just about, all right, I'm doing this for me so that I can be better. But suddenly Jesus calls us to look up and around us, and we look for people that are in the midst of our classrooms who are broken and hurting and are in need of hope. And then we're called to give our lives away for them. And so go ahead and flip to that next slide for me. Or skip ahead just a couple verses. This is Romans 12. No, go back, yeah. 12:6. So let me read this for you guys. This, God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts of ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of your faith that you have to prophesy. If you have a grace gift of serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. What Paul is writing here is that each and every one of us have different gifts, right? That's not why we're not all involved in the exact same thing. We have different interests, different things that we're a part of. And in the midst of that, God has also given us different spiritual gifts, right? That the Holy Spirit, if he lives in you, these gifts, you may have one of these to lead others, to show compassion to other people, to be kind to one another, to lead well. And so he's saying that I've given all of you these different things so that as you go, as you do these things, right, that you would be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so let's keep going, because I think that it's cool how Paul lays out some of these specific examples. Really fast, we'll jump into Amos. I read this passage last week about worship. So this is Amos 5, 21 through 24. This is the prophet Amos speaking to God's people. He says, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Right? So he tells them all of this because at this point, they're just going through the motions. They've got the external stuff down. Like, this is what I've been called to do. But the inward is not there. Because even though they're doing all of these things, they're not caring for the sick, for the widowed, for the poor, for the alien. Like, they're not caring for those people. And so he's like, instead of even all of these things, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. And the cool thing is that all the way then forward, you flip ahead back to Romans, and Paul begins to lay this out. I love this. Even as I was reading this, this really, it reminds me a lot of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, of just kind of like, here are these snippets and bits of like, if you're looking to say, how should I live my life this year? This is what you need to look at. So go ahead and we'll go to the next slide. This is Romans 12, all right? And I'm going to read 9 through 21, but there's about three or so on every passage. So I want you guys to really, really hone in on this. And just see, and maybe even one or two of these, really just ask God to say, how are you challenging me this school year to really engage in this? Because I think that if we're doing these things, it is much easier to worship God throughout our day in everything that we do. So he says this, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another. Let me say that again. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another. I don't know many of us that could raise our hand in this room and say, I have always done everything in my whole entire life out of love for the person who is next to me. That would be very difficult. Even for myself, I know that it's definitely not true for me. But I would ask that God would do that in me. And never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Again, he's saying that this is not something that you just do and it's not a show for other people, but that your heart would truly be chasing after Jesus. This isn't something, we don't show up here on Sundays just so other people will see us and go, wow, great job, you did it. That's not why we're here. We're here to learn more and to be more like Jesus. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. So that's the first one about love. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. That includes all of us sitting in this room. That we would love one another first, and that this would be a place where it is so easy to see the love that you have for one another. And I think that's true in different pockets and sections of you. But maybe push yourself outside of that, because everybody sitting in this room is a part of one family. And try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Serve, all right? We have a couple different ways you can even do that in here. Serving one another means that if you've been here for a long time, if you're an eighth grader, if you're even a sixth grader, who you've been coming here to this church for like your whole life, one way that you can serve is by finding people who may be brand new. Maybe this is their first week, even this week, and you know what that looks like to be welcoming and to be inviting of others into this space, all right? Imagine walking in that back door, not knowing anybody, and trying to find a seat when everybody who you're walking by is like, oh, this seat's saved, sorry, this seat's saved, sorry, this seat's saved. Doesn't feel like very welcoming. It's one way to serve. You can serve on the worship team in here. You can do that. We just did Kingdom Weekend at the beginning of the summer where we did service in this area together, right? That's one way you can do that. We'll go to the next one, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times, right? Like, be in his word. Know how much time you're spending with him. Look for him throughout your day. Verse 13, take a constant interest in the need of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your home even, not just welcoming people here. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. That is difficult. I'm going to tell you right now, that is very difficult. Anybody comes at you this school year and they insult you and they say bad things about you, whether behind your back or to your face, watch yourself and watch your heart that you don't then in turn do the exact same thing back to them. Speak blessing rather over them. Verse 15. No, you're right. You got it. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. So again, it's this push to say, it is not about me. I want to know what God's will is for my life, and his will is that you would then love and serve him and love and serve other people. Jesus lays that out too. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking that you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. And I know that as I read that last sentence, some of you immediately thought of somebody else. You're like, man, if only they would know that, right? And I would challenge you to flip that back and think about it for yourself first and first only. All right? Make sure that this is you, all right? That that's not your attitude. 17, never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Our culture would tell you the exact opposite. There are movie after movie after movie after this and that and other stuff where it is all about taking revenge, getting back what you feel like is rightfully yours, what you feel like you rightfully deserve. And the truth is that in all actuality, we deserve death, and Christ has given us life. And so there's nothing else that we can hold over anybody else's head that they owe us, because we know that we've been given the ultimate gift of grace and mercy through Jesus. Verse 19 says this, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Think about that. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. That's so important for you guys for this year. And so those are, again, as we ran through that, I hope that one or two really stuck out to you that as like as a challenge for you for this year. Because as we've looked at what does it mean to worship, how do we worship, again, it has to start on the inside. You have to answer that very first question, what is God worth to you? What is God worth to you? Again, if you would say everything, I would challenge you to say, then does every action that you take represent what's happening on the inside there? Because I think for some of us, we know how to give God lip service. We know the right answers. We could recite all the books of the Bible. We know stuff about God. But does that really change us? Does that change the way that we act in here? Does that change the way that we act out there, more importantly? Do we come here excited to learn more about Jesus and to see our friends and to worship together? Or do we just show up because we think that going to church gets us bonus points with God? Because I can tell you that it doesn't. So what is God worth to you? If worship is a response, like Paul says, you need to get a handle on who you're responding to. And the way that you live outwardly says more about your inward beliefs than your words oftentimes. I'll read that again. The way you live outwardly says more about your inward beliefs than your words oftentimes. And so even just ask yourself, what have my actions been like first week of school? What will they be like this first week of school? When I go about my day, could I say that everything that I'm doing is worship because I'm thankful of who God is and who he's made me to be? And so to kind of wrap this series up, I want us to worship together this morning. We're going to sing a couple songs. I know we usually close with one or two. We're going to do three songs this morning. And so for some of you, again, I know that maybe singing like this isn't your biggest or most favorite way of doing things on a Sunday morning. But I want to encourage you to ask yourself that question. Because if you sit in the back with your arms crossed, or even in the front with your arms crossed, and you don't participate, and you're like, this is silly, I would ask you the question of, man, what's God worth to you? Who do you say that he is? And so watch your heart in that way. Because if you sit there in the back or sit wherever, and you're distracting the people around you, and you're not participating in this, I'd ask you the question of, what is he worth to you? Some of you that I see always doing that, you would answer. You'd say, oh, God's worth everything. And I would tell you that your actions, man, they tell me a whole different story. As we do this, as we worship, we declare who God is together. Your singing encourages the person next to you to sing. Your singing encourages the person next to you because we get to hear from each other who God is, what he's done, and who he's made us to be.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.